Our scripture reading tonight comes from the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 1, beginning with verse 1, and then we'll jump to the second half of the chapter after a little bit. Proverbs 1, beginning at verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance, for understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. And then jumping to verse 20. Wisdom calls aloud in the street. She raises her voice in the public squares. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. In the gateways of the city, she makes her speech. How long will you simple ones love your simple ways? How long will mockers delight in mockery and fools hate knowledge? If you had responded to my rebuke, I would have poured out my heart to you and made my thoughts known to you. But since you rejected me when I called, and no one gave heed when I stretched out my hand, since you ignored all my advice and would not accept my rebuke, I in turn will laugh at your disaster. I will mock when calamity overtakes you. When calamity overtakes you like a storm, when disaster sweeps over you like a whirlwind, when distress and trouble overwhelm you. Then they will call to me, but I will not answer. They will look for me, but will not find me. Since they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord, since they would not accept my advice and spurned my rebuke, they will eat the fruit of their ways and be filled with the fruit of their schemes. For the waywardness of the simple will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we've already asked that you would open the eyes of our heart. We pray that you would do that now, especially, Lord, as we turn to your word. And that you would guide us, Father, back onto a right path. That your Spirit would fill us in a special way and would move us, Lord, and turn our faces toward you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When I was in college, I took a speech class. And one day, the professor put on kind of a contest or a competition. He would lead two of us from the class up to the front, and then we would stand next to one another, side by side, and then we had to give impromptu speeches at the same time to the class. We had to see which one of us could get the class's attention, and we had to come up with something to talk about on the spur of the moment. And then that continued on. It was kind of a single elimination tournament until we ended up with one person in the class who could keep everyone's attention for the longest period of time and in the best way. It was really a challenging thing to do, to have to stand up there and try to compete with another person for someone's attention. But in some ways, it was even more challenging to sit out in the class. You didn't want either of them to feel bad. And so you try to listen to both of them. But one thing that you find right away is that you can't. You can't give your attention to two people at the same time. You're going to be drawn to one, or you're going to be drawn to the other. And then at the end of the allotted time, the 60 seconds or whatever it was that we had, then the class would vote to see who kept their attention the most. Even if they tried, they couldn't keep it balanced, one or the other, was going to gain their attention. And in many ways, life for us is like being in that class and sitting there and hearing two people trying to get our attention and not being able to give it to both of them, but having to give it to either one or to the other. And those two people that Solomon introduces us to throughout the book of Proverbs are wisdom and folly. Wisdom and folly, both calling out to us, both trying to get our attention, both hoping that we will follow what they have to say. But we can only choose one, wisdom or folly. And that's what Solomon is getting at here as he begins the book of Proverbs. This book is all about that kind of a thing. We spent a good majority of our time when we were down in Mississippi on these first couple of chapters of the book of Proverbs talking about what Solomon means when he tries to instruct his son to follow wisdom, to seek after it, and to set his life on the course of wisdom. Wisdom, if you think about it, wisdom is a very interesting thing. And tonight, I'd like to talk about wisdom in a couple of different ways as we reflect for a few minutes on wisdom's call and whether we're listening. One of the ways that wisdom is very interesting is that wisdom is a way of seeing the future. Actually, it's more than that. It's more than a way of seeing the future. Wisdom is a way of forming the future. It's a way of safeguarding the future. It's a way of planning your own future, forming it the way you want it to be. That's what wisdom is all about. Wisdom is about looking ahead. And if you do certain things the way wisdom tells you to do them, then later on down the road when you get there, things will be a certain way for you. And that's what Solomon gets at in verses 32 and 33, where he says, "For the waywardness of the simple will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me, whoever listens to wisdom, will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm." So wisdom is a tool that you can use to form your own future. And that's a unique thing. I can't think of anything else in the whole world that can do that. That you can use to ensure that your future is going to be a certain way. What else could you go to? What else could you use to form your future in that way? But that's what wisdom does. That's what wisdom offers us. Now, this isn't a blanket promise that those who listen to wisdom will never have anything bad happen to them. There are really two different kinds of calamities. There are the calamities that just choose you, and there are the calamities that you choose. And we both know many examples of both. There are calamities that simply choose you. They just kind of come from nowhere. You didn't do anything to deserve it, but it happens to you. And the Bible talks about those kinds of calamities in many places, like the book of Job, or in the letter of James, where James says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you face trials of many kinds." Not trials that you're enduring because you did something wrong, but just trials that you will face in life. Things that will happen to you, difficult circumstances that will come upon you. So there are difficult things, there are calamities that choose us. But there are also calamities that we choose. There are things that happen to us as a result of choices that we've made. And that's what Proverbs is directing itself toward. Not the things that will just happen to us out of the clear blue sky, but the things that we set ourselves on the course toward. the things that are a result of foolishness, of bad choices in our lives. And Proverbs wants to keep us from that. A couple of weeks ago, there was a trial going on in Grand Rapids regarding the murder of a Mr. Freiling, I believe his name was. He was some kind of successful businessman or something. I don't remember what he did for a living, but he was well respected by his family and friends. And he was murdered. And on the surface, it seems as though it was one of those calamities that just comes out of nowhere. But as the trial progressed, the star witness was a prostitute whom he spent much time with, and the accused murderer was her pimp. And so as the trial went farther and farther, it became clear that this wasn't just one of those calamities that comes out of the blue. This was something that he had put himself in front of. This is something that came about in part because of choices that he had made. So we have both in this world. Both. And Solomon wants us to follow wisdom so that we might not put ourselves on a path that leads to a calamity of one kind or another. So by listening to wisdom, it is possible to change or shape our future. Wisdom addresses itself. Wisdom addresses herself, as Solomon would say, to the choices that we make, to the lifestyle decisions that we make. That's what it's concerned about. And that makes wisdom a very unique thing. But wisdom is also unique in that it's not exclusive. It's available to anybody. You don't have to be wealthy or well-connected to grab hold of this tool that you can shape your future with. You don't have to have special connections. You don't have to spend anything for it. It's there. It's available to anyone. And that's what Solomon gets at when he describes wisdom's call in verses 20 and 21. He says, "Wisdom calls aloud in the street. She raises her voice in the public squares. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. In the gateways of the city, she makes her speech." She doesn't have a booth set up somewhere that you have to pay to get into. She calls out in public to anyone who will listen to give them wisdom. So not only is wisdom this powerful tool, the only tool I can think of that you can actually use to shape your future and mold it and make it what you'd like it to be, it's also available to you. Always available. At no cost. All we have to do is listen to it. All we have to do is listen. But that brings us to the third interesting thing about wisdom, and that is that it seems to be feared by almost everyone. You can call it a love of folly, you can call it hating knowledge, as God calls it here in Proverbs chapter 1. But at its heart, I guess, it's a fear of wisdom. A fear that if I listen to wisdom, I'm not going to get what I want. If I listen to wisdom calling out in the street to me, it's going to mean that I'm going to have to give up some things that I really want to have or I really want to experience. And I'm not sure I want to do that. So even though wisdom is this incredible tool to use to form your future in the way that you'd want it to be, to rest in peace and not worry, not fear harm, to have that kind of peace inside that everyone always talks about wanting to have in the midst of this crazy life, few people use it. because it means oftentimes saying no. Saying no to something that we desire for now. Something that we want to have. In that speech competition, you did whatever you had to, within reason, to get people's attention. And folly does the same thing. Folly knows that if she can get our attention with something, she can lead us where she wants us to go. So even as wisdom is calling out in the streets and in the public places, she's not alone. Folly is there right beside her, calling out her own message. Later on in Proverbs, in chapter 9, Solomon gives her message where she says, "Let all who are simple come in here," she says to those who lack judgment. "Stolen water is sweet. Food eaten in secret is delicious." She's got all the things to get our attention. All of the things that we crave. All of the things that we desire. All of the things that we sinfully desire. All of those things. She's got them all. And she'll offer them to you and say, "Go ahead. Look at how great it's going to be." It's just like in the Garden of Eden, right? "Think about how wonderful this is going to be. Think about how much you're going to enjoy it." And she convinces us that those things in the present have nothing to do with what happens in the future. See, that's wisdom's message. Wisdom says, you have to worry about what you do now because it's going to affect what happens later. But folly says, "Oh, no, don't worry about that. Let the future take care of itself. Just worry about right now, doing what you really want. Enjoying all these things that I have to offer you." So wisdom and folly stand side by side, just like in that class. They stand side by side trying to get people to listen, and folly does a very good job of it. But then she has it easy because she offers us the things that we secretly desire anyway. And since we don't believe, or she often convinces us that what she has to offer us today will not affect tomorrow, we go ahead and follow along with it. We indulge in whatever it happens to be. We fear wisdom because wisdom would say no to us. And so even though wisdom stands there calling out, telling us the way that we can form our future, we turn a deaf ear to it so that we can form our present the way we want. The problem, though, is that wisdom's power to safeguard the future is connected to her power to safeguard the present. And that's what I was just saying a moment ago. In order for wisdom to form our future, it has to start forming our present. That's how it works. Wisdom changes today so that it can change tomorrow. A lot of times we'll follow folly today and say to ourselves, "But God will clean up the mess tomorrow." Right? He's forgiving, isn't he? Yes, he is. But he also calls out and tells us about the consequences to living a certain way today. And that's why wisdom says that when the people who fail to listen to her face calamity of one kind or another, she's going to laugh at them. She says in verse 24, "But since you rejected me when I called, and no one gave heed when I stretched out my hand, since you ignored all my advice and would not accept my rebuke, I in turn will laugh at your disaster. I will mock when calamity overtakes you, when calamity overtakes you like a storm, when disaster sweeps over you like a whirlwind, when distress and trouble overwhelm you. Then they will call to me, but I will not answer. They will look for me, but will not find me. You see, wisdom is powerless when disaster comes, because wisdom's power is in preparing and keeping you away from disaster. So if we don't turn to wisdom today, she can help us in no way when disaster comes. So we can't, you see, live for today, live and follow folly, and trust that God will be able to clean up the mess if something happens. The wisdom of God wants to clean up the mess now, so that nothing happens. So that we don't experience the disaster or the calamity. So that the storm doesn't come. A lot of storms came when we were in Mississippi. Every single day, as we were trying to get this house painted, suddenly you look on the horizon and here it comes, and there is nothing that's going to stop it. It's the same way to follow folly. The storm might be a little ways off, and you might be able to enjoy whatever that happens to be for a time, but the storm's going to come. It's going to come. And then the wisdom of God can do us no good. At least not for that calamity. So in order to focus or to avoid calamities tomorrow, we have to focus on God's wisdom today and listen to wisdom today. That means we have to trust the voice of God. And that's what Solomon tells us right away in verse 7 of chapter 1. He says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." The fear of the Lord. There have been, I'm sure, countless sermons given and books written on what that means, the fear of the Lord. We talked a lot about that this week. What does it mean to fear the Lord? And I think we can sum it up in a little phrase. It means to take Him very seriously. So to take His power and His glory seriously, but also to take His love and His mercy and His grace seriously. Every word that proceeds from His mouth, to take it seriously. That's what it means to fear the Lord. And the reason that we have to do that first before we can gather anything from wisdom is because that's where wisdom comes from, as Solomon is saying. Unless you are in awe of God, unless you understand and you acknowledge the truth of who He is, and you take Him in all that He is very seriously, wisdom can't be yours. Because that's where wisdom comes from. He is the only one that has it. So if you don't take Him seriously, folly is going to lure you away. She will tell you that the Lord doesn't really have your best interests in mind. She will tell you that it isn't really important if you listen to Him in terms of what you should and should not do, because in the end it isn't going to matter. She'll tell you anything she has to tell you in order to get your attention. And so I guess the way that we stay away from folly is we learn to love the Lord. When we were doing Bible school one day, a lot of the Bible stories that we told the kids, when I was talking to kids, they had never heard before, like Noah and the Ark. One of the latter days, I asked the kids, how many people have a Bible at home? Almost every hand shot up in the air. How many of you read them? It isn't that wisdom isn't available to us. It isn't that the knowledge of the Lord and all of the things about Him that should just make us want to follow Him in every way aren't available to us. They are available. But we're often too busy to foster that relationship, to learn more about Him, to grow into our relationship with Him, and develop that to the point that we know that every word He tells us is love. We know that every word He tells us is mercy. We know it when He speaks it, so we don't question it. It's only then that we can follow wisdom and form the future that we want to have. So, who has your attention tonight? It's not possible for them both to have it, for both wisdom and folly to have your attention. Could be that only one area of your life is an area where you're listening to folly and not to wisdom. But folly only needs one area of your life because she'll use that area to bring down the rest. So we're all sitting in class listening to wisdom and to folly. Who has our attention? Has folly enticed you with stolen water or sweet things that you really desire to have? Could be anything. Could be just a little more of that green stuff, that money, or something that you want to get with that money. Or could be physical desire, passion, lust. Could be popularity. Could be a feeling of being important because I always have all the information. Could be a lot of things. Has she convinced you that it won't affect your tomorrow? It will. So let's turn to wisdom today. Let her have your complete attention. In other words, let the Lord have your complete attention. Drink in the glory that He is. Meditate on the love and mercy that He is. And listen to the words He speaks. For they are love, and they are power, and they will form your future. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You that You are all that You are. We know, Father, that You are the Almighty, the all-powerful God, and there is none like You. We also know, Father, that there is none like You for other reasons, too, that there is none as loving as You are. There is none as merciful as You are. There is none who wants the best for us more than You do. So, Father, we pray that You would help us and inspire us and grab a hold of us by Your Spirit. Help us, Lord, to change the habits that we have. Help us, Lord, each day to be digging into Your Word, to be fostering that relationship with You, to grow into that relationship more and more, so that Your words, Father, might be music to our ears, and that Your word might be a light for our path. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.